Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Marianne Drevatna as my special expert guest. Marianne is originally from Norway and has been involved in the fitness industry for 20 years. She is a certified personal trainer and is the owner of BC Adventure Bootcamp, the only certified co-ed fitness bootcamp in the Lower Mainland of Vancouver. Marianne is passionate about the industry and has participated in several sports and competed twice in the Norwegian Championship in archery. She is currently training for her first natural bodybuilding competition. Marianne has over 3,000 hours of programming experience as a certified trainer. Her slogan is, "Life is an adventure. Train for it." Good morning, Marianne, and thanks for coming into the studio as my special expert guest on this edition of SNU.
Thank you very much for having me, Corey.
I'm really looking forward to this. Now, Marianne, you've been involved in sports all of your life. I know you've got a very strong athletic background. So why don't you share with us how you developed an interest in sport and what sport means to you?
Well, it means a lot to me, Corey. I was brought up in Norway in the great outdoors, 60 degrees north. I was participating in cross-country skiing. We had a cabin up in the mountains. I was probably about 4 years old, and I was standing up straight and going straight down the hills. I had absolutely no fear whatsoever. My parents were in absolute shock. Anyways, it progressed from there, and I went into really enjoying my PE classes in school. I was really enjoying running. I became a half marathon runner just because I enjoyed it so much. It became just a great way to deviate from my other parts of my life and just kind of really enjoy getting fit and feeling the great outdoors and all the fresh air. It was wonderful. As well as I got into natural bodybuilding when I was 17. I was kind of drawn into the gym, just introduced by a friend of mine. And I had a workout and I was hooked and I really started training. I was one of the first women in the gyms in Norway that was training and doing weight training. And people were like, "You do that?"
Really?
Yes. And I also was into horseback riding, dressage and jumping. I was competing in archery. I was training 3 days a week on a consistent basis. And I competed in many different events. And of course, the biggest one was the Norwegian Championships in archery, and that I really, really enjoyed. I did a lot of sports psychology as well back then to prepare myself for the events. And let's see what else. I've done a lot of different things.
No doubt.
Of course, I was into skating. There's lots of frozen lakes in Norway, so you get out there, bring your skates, and have some fun for the day. And I was into rollerblading. I have gone into scuba diving when I actually traveled abroad into the States, and I became a scuba dive master as I love the sport so much. And that was just another event that just really brought me into a lot of different sports and different excitement.
Now, how did you eventually come to Canada?
I actually, when I was 19, I decided that I wanted to travel abroad, and I applied for several jobs. One of them was to work for Walt Disney, and I really wanted to be a guide for them. Although other events wanted me to, you know, bring my life in different paths and different direction, and I ended up traveling abroad anyways, and I ended up working on cruise ships. So I spent 5 years out there, and after, you know, in about the fifth year, I was working on a cruise ship that was going out of California, and I met my husband, who actually worked on board the cruise ship as a singer. And I was a recreational director for the cruise line, so I was in charge of all the activities and all the entertainment. I was kind of like a Julie McCoy, you know, from The Love Boat.
Oh, yes.
And and we fell in love, and I ended up, we were trying to figure out how we were going to be able to stay together and work together, and it didn't work out that we were working together on ships at that particular time. So I ended up leaving my cruise ship after 5 years at sea and ended up adventuring and venturing out and going up to Canada to actually be with my husband. We ended up having to get married in order to stay together and live together. It worked out rather well. We spent 3 years on land, and I was working in the fitness industry in Canada. And then we actually went back at sea, and we worked in the ultra-luxury market for another 4 years and traveling around the world. And we had wonderful, wonderful times. And, of course, then I started getting a little bit edgy and wanted to actually live on land after that. So I ended up coming back to Canada and in the fitness industry again, and working as a personal trainer, having my own company, and just enjoyed it. Anyway, so that's how I came to Canada.
Now, most people, when they go cruising on cruise ships,
yes,
they gain a lot of weight.
Yes, they do.
They come back with maybe 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah.
It's not more or less. Is it possible to actually not gain the weight when you're on a cruise ship?
Well, you know, we always used to have this joke going on the ship, and it basically said, okay, does anyone know how much weight that you gain on an average when you go on a cruise ship? And everyone would kind of be guessing, and they would say, you know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds. And we always used to tell them it's 5 pounds per day. Per day. You know, you go into those great, they have those wonderful chocoholic buffets at midnight.
Oh, yes.
And things like that. And people, they would literally just load up because they want to get their money's worth, I think. And they go on the ships and they just figure, well, they're on vacation. So what the heck, they're going to have some fun. And they would be eating a lot of calories. And yes, people would be gaining weight out there.
But there's all kinds of activities. I mean, if you wanted to be physically fit and really get into that experience, they provide all that opportunity, don't they?
There is something for everyone on a cruise ship. There is a wonderful, you know, state-of-the-art fitness facility generally on ships nowadays. There, some of the cruise lines have climbing walls. There is even skating rinks on some of the cruise ships. It's amazing what they are able to facilitate out there at sea. And of course, they have wonderful sports and fitness programs. There is ping pong, there's shuffleboard, there is, you know, walk a mile, walk 3 miles, you know, around the ship and everything. And they tell you exactly how many times you have to go around in order to actually get your fitness goals met. And of course, there is spa menus on the ships now where you can actually eat healthier, where they have the low sodium and everything. And they are really trying out there to provide, you know, more of a fitness environment for people that are concerned about their health. But of course, there is that other side where people want to be bad and they are going on vacation and they don't really care about doing their regular fitness and stuff. It depends on the person and who you are as an individual, I really believe, Corey.
Yes. Myself, I love to hit the gym. When I travel, I like to go to different gyms in different countries. I love the fitness experience as part of my travel experience. It also keeps me lean. I'm not trying to lose, but I think that without that and trying all the different foods and experimenting with the variety of flavors and different culinary experiences around the world. But anyway, that's great. So that's a wonderful story. And what a life that you've seen and experienced so far. And what life and vitality that you do bring into your boot camp. So let's talk about that now. You're leading this boot camp and you've created something that's very unique. So tell us about the program and how it works.
Well, the boot camp itself is 1 hour a day, 5 days a week for 4 weeks. And there is also a 3-day option. So for people that are working shift work or they're just not able to do the 5-day program, they have a choice to do, you know, 3 days a week. And they can do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or the 3 days are flexible in case they need to do 2 days 1 week and 4 days the next week. They can do that too. Just, I really want them to be able to achieve their fitness goals. So whatever it takes, you know, I'm willing to work with them in order for them to make it in their life. So if that's what they can do, that's what we will do. And of course, it is an outdoor fitness program. We're outdoor specialists all the way. We never ever go indoors. There is absolutely no excuses if it rains, if there is minus five out there, there's frost on the ground. It's a wonderful experience. In general, in the early mornings, we don't actually have very much rain. There's almost like a pocket there, Corey, where it's just dry, you know? And we may have downpour maybe once or twice during the month of boot camp, but other than that, it's just great, and people get that fresh air. A lot of people, of course, also suffers from seasonal acute depression, and getting even just 30 minutes of outside, you know, light in their life is enough to actually alleviate those symptoms and feel better about themselves.
Well, you know, I really like the idea of boot camp, and being a father with children, you know, the idea of boot camp, and they even have television shows now where they send kids to boot camp.
Yes.
That are out of control and unruly.
Yes.
So being that the fitness industry is what it is. When you came here, how did you come up with the idea of actually creating a boot camp?
Well, actually, it wasn't completely my idea. I was sitting around, I was thinking that this would probably be a great thing to do in the fitness industry. And I know of all the military boot camps and everything for, you know, they've been going on for years already. And everybody has heard the word boot camp. It's just that it really caught on in as a fitness idea. And it was actually the creators of Adventure Bootcamp Worldwide is located in California. And it's Dr. John Spencer Ellis, who is the president for the National Endurance and Sports Trainers Association, who is the creator of Adventure Bootcamp Worldwide. And he has now actually certified over 30 Adventure Bootcamps in the United States alone. And there is 7 in Canada. There's also one in South Africa. There is one in England. And they're just growing all the time. It's a very, very successful program. Adventure Bootcamp was also covered on Billy Blank's Bootcamp with Oprah Winfrey recently. And they have really gotten huge exposure. There's no screaming or yelling in our bootcamps. There's actually more sports coaching involved and lifestyle coaching. And people really do enjoy that. There is no camouflage. You know, we are really more into the fitness experience of it.
Right. Sounds great. So what are some of the activities, like the actual movements? Say I show up for the boot camp. Where do we go from there? How does it start?
Well, Corey, every day is an adventure. You never know what to expect when you come to my boot camp. We do obstacle courses, agility training, weight training, Pilates, medicine ball training, sports performance training, manual resistance training. We introduced Nordic walking as one of the first programs in Vancouver area to offer those programs. We also do short distance running. We have hiking days. We just, every day is a different adventure. And of course, we do flexibility and stretching as well at the end of the program to make sure that there's no tight muscles afterwards.
Wow, sounds incredible. Now, Nordic walking, what's that?
Nordic walking is a total body workout. It's actually, if you're familiar with cross-country skiing, it's like cross-country skiing, except you don't have skis on your feet. And you work your chest, your back, your arms, and your abdominals. And you actually can burn up to 40% more calories than regular walking alone.
And you carry ski poles?
Yeah, you actually use, they're kind of like ski poles, except you're strapped into them. And they're hanging onto your wrist. And when you're extending your arm, you're not actually ever gripping the pole. There's a certain technique that goes with it, which we are educated and trained in teaching. We are trained by Leki, which is the world's leading manufacturer for skis, trekking equipment, poles. And they came up here earlier this year. And I'm a Leki Nordic walking instructor as well.
So are they called Nordic poles? Is that what you call them?
They're called Nordic walking poles.
I see.
Yes.
And do you actually lean on them when you take a stride?
You actually never put the poles in front of you. The poles are always maintained in the back.
I see.
And you're actually pushing yourself. The more that you're pushing yourself away, the less of a strike you get through your heels. And the strike can actually be lessened with up to 26%. So people that have back problems or knee problems, it's really ideal for them because they're able to go out and actually enjoy walking.
Like, is it mainly uphill or on a flat surface?
It's mainly on a flat surface or slightly rolly terrain.
I see.
Yes.
Because I've seen some people using these poles on the grouse grind.
Well, they're probably not the same poles, Corey. There is also something called trekking poles. And trekking poles has been in industry for a long, long time. And of course, they're great when you're going up or down the mountain, especially down because it protects your knees when you are coming down with trekking poles. But the difference between Nordic walking poles and the trekking poles mainly is in the upper part of the pole, because when you have a Nordic walking pole attached to your wrist, you don't want to be going up a steep mountain in case that the pole actually breaks underneath you. You would risk breaking your wrist.
Right.
So the trekking poles are better for that particular event or traveling up the mountain.
Wow. Whole world of poles out there.
Yes, there is a whole world of different poles and different technique with the Nordic walking as well.
Isn't that incredible?
And they come with rubber tips at the bottom of them. They have carbide tips, but you can actually put a rubber tip on the bottom of them and you can use them on the pavement. So you can be using them as you're doing fitness walking along the neighborhood.
Neat.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
So probably another year and you'll see everybody Nordic walking in the Vancouver area.
You think it's going to really catch on?
Yes. There's 500,000 people currently Nordic walking in Finland alone. It's going like wildfire in Europe right now. And it's come to North America, but people are still, you know, learning about Nordic walking.
Right.
So this is going to be one of those next fitness trends out there.
And by going to the boot camp, they can kind of introduce them to the idea.
I can.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me about the kind of people that come to boot camp. They're probably not like bodybuilders that go to the gym looking to pump iron. What kind of people come and what do they expect when they come to the boot camp?
Well, some people are a little bit scared. They're worried that they're going to be yelled at or it's going to be intimidating, but it really isn't an intimidating experience at all. It's just so much fun. The camaraderie in our boot camps are absolutely awesome. The people get to, you know, meet each other. They get to be with the same group for the whole entire month. If they're training for an event like a, you know, a half marathon, or if they're training for triathlon, it's a great way to cross train their bodies so that they actually don't get injuries. We get all levels of fitness levels coming to our boot camp. We have everyone from really out of shape to Ironman athletes that have actually come through, and we have all different ages as well. We've actually had everyone from 15 to 64. So get in there and do a boot camp.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
So age is not an excuse or a restriction.
No.
And basically, I guess you'd have to have generally good functional health to be able to participate.
I basically advise my participants to be able to walk a mile before they do the boot camp. And if they can walk a mile, they can do the boot camp. Yes, it will be hard in the first week. I always warn them. And as they get into the second week, it's almost like they reach a plateau where they're getting really tired. And in the third week, their energy level starts picking up. And by the fourth week, they're unstoppable.
Wow.
It's amazing, because we're always progressing the program and changing. We're building it very carefully so that they're getting used to it.
Now, you must see people go through psychological turmoil or hit walls. People that want to quit and leave, does that ever happen?
It rarely ever happens that anyone leaves the program, because, first of all, we have a roll sheet. They're responsible to sign in every morning, and they know that they're supposed to be there. There is absolutely no excuses in the program. If they're not there, it has to be an excused absence from their doctor, or they have to be phoning me and letting me know why they're not coming to boot camp. So they rather not go through that, I think. And they just, you know, they basically show up, and they know that they're going to be feeling better as they go. And it's amazing to see the different spirits. I very rarely have anyone that drop out of the program, to be honest with you. You know, unless there is, like, you know, death in their families or
What about when they get through the program? What is beyond that? They progress to a higher level or more intensity?
You know, I have 50 to 80% repeat clientele in my camps. People keep coming back because they love the experience so much, and they love the challenge because it's a personal challenge. Everyone works at their level of fitness, and there's different options for each fitness level. So let's say if you are, you know, feeling like you're just starting out, you would be picking like the easiest way to do the exercise. But if you're more advanced, you would be doing a much harder form of that same exercise. And that's why it's challenging for everyone. So even if you just finished your first camp, there's always going to be another level that you can personally challenge yourself to make it harder. You can grab a heavier medicine ball, for instance, you know, right, to have more of a challenge, right?
Right.
So, and they keep coming back because it's different. Every camp is different too. We don't always do the same things. So they find it interesting, you know, they never really get bored. And a lot of people are tired of just working out in the gyms, and they find that they're not always getting the motivation that they need. Well, the motivation in our camps are absolutely phenomenal. People love coming because they feel like they're being motivated. They feel like they're being challenged. There is huge variety in the program. The camaraderie is so exceptional. And that's what they keep coming back for.
Wow. Sounds great. Now, I know that you have a fitness test procedure that you put people through. What's that involve?
I do. Whenever I have participants meeting in my boot camp or coming to my boot camp, I meet with them before and after the boot camp to see where they are at when they're starting and where they are when they're finishing the boot camp. So we do a pre-body composition test and measurements. And the pre-body composition test is basically done with a Futrex 5000A machine, which is one of the most accurate testers on the market. And we find out exactly how much lean muscle mass they have, as much as, you know, fat they're actually carrying on their body. We also find out about their hydration level. So a lot of people are actually dehydrated, and they need to be drinking more water. And that's one of the things we're able to advise them of. And, of course, we go through their medical history and find out if there's any concerns or any limitations that they may have for the program. I also look at their posture to see if there's any biomechanical things that may be a problem during the month of boot camp. And if there is any, I always refer out to – have a whole team of physiotherapists and everything that I can refer people to make sure that they're okay to participate in the program before they start.
Yes, isn't that good?
Yeah.
Very, very thorough. Now, what about nutrition? I know these people are coming in, and maybe there's a real mixed bag of people that are eating whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get into that too? Do you provide them with information and regarding that, the science, and how do you find that they respond to that?
Well, you know what? I really believe that you are what you eat, and 90% of your training is your nutrition. That is the most important thing. I'm surprised how many people are not actually taking a bigger interest in nutrition, Corey. I find that it's really tough even to get people out, you know, sometimes to the nutrition seminars that we are offering. And of course, we're very lucky to have you doing those nutrition seminars for us. And we're hoping that that's going to really pick up, that people are going to really know that there's a huge difference in coming out and learning about nutrition. And we really want them to learn about this because it is such a big, big part of performance and how people look and how they feel, is to make sure that they're on the proper track.
What about the composition of people that come out? Do you see a need to have them reduce their body fat?
Absolutely. I find that a lot of people are very high. Actually, a lot of people are in the obese category that are coming into the boot camp. And you know what? The funny thing is, a lot of people, they don't look obese, you know, like, because you're skinny, it doesn't mean that you're healthy in terms of the body composition.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people think, oh, I'm okay, you know, because I'm skinny, or I look okay, or whatever, you know, and then they actually do the test and they're kind of shocked to find out that they're in poor. And I have a lot of people that are in the poor and very poor category that are signing up, that have maybe not been working out for a long time because they've had families and kids, and they're finding that they're kind of being, you know, gotten off the track. And the other thing that we offer in our boot camp as well is that I take people grocery shopping.
Do you?
So I actually take them out to the store, and I teach them how to read food labels, and I teach them where to go shopping in the grocery store.
Around the outside perimeter, huh?
Absolutely. Well, there is a few things that are okay to have in the inner aisles,
right,
as well.
Yes.
But you just have to know what to pick and
right,
what the choices that are available in the inner aisles and which ones are okay.
Yes, that's very practical. That's an excellent idea. Now, what about someone who's got too much body fat, but they complain about energy? How would you resolve that issue?
Well, the biggest thing I find is when people have very low energies is that they're not even eating consistent meals, and their blood sugars are out of whack. So basically, you know, picking up their meals during the day and eating every 3.5 to 4 hours is what I recommend, because they found that that's the gastric emptying time in the body. So you actually need to educate them in what a protein is. A lot of people don't know what protein is, you know, and you got to make sure they know what a protein, a carb, and a fat is, and that they all go together in the same meal, and that actually keeps the blood sugars properly elevated throughout the day. And when they start eating more often, their energy level starts picking up, and also they start feeling better when they're working out.
What supplements do you think would be good for these boot campers to take?
Well, I really think that the basic and most important thing is to actually have a whey protein shake. I really prefer an isolate, unless you're trying to gain, you know, a lot of bulk and trying to put on a mass on the body. And then I really think that it's important to mix it up with a good 369 oil. L-glutamine, I think, is really important in the body. It helps to repair, you know, muscle, as well as it also helps prevent sugar cravings. And a lot of people, you know, they get into 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then they crave for chocolate bars. So I think that the L-glutamine is a really wonderful thing for them to have at that particular moment. And of course, a shake is very easy in the morning too. A lot of people can't eat anything first thing in the morning. They feel like it's just really tough to get anything down. So getting something basic and just putting it in a blender and blending it up is one of those most wonderful things that
Isn't
will get
it?
People on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. Quick and easy. It's liquid, easy to break down and get into the body before the boot camp, because you guys start really early, don't you?
Yes, we do. We're at there at 5:45 a.m. September is actually getting dark right now, so we are using headlamps and construction lamps in our boot camp, and that really makes it an adventure.
No kidding.
You need to come out one morning.
I know. You've been wanting to get me out there. I think the crickets are still asleep at that time, and I'm one of them.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Now, what about sports bars? Do you find that they can be useful to sort of fill in the gaps? Have you found any that you like?
You know what? I'm not a very big fan of sports bars. I actually make my own protein bars as well that I put together. I find that a lot of the protein bars and the sports bars that are on the market, they're actually full of, you know, sugar sweeteners like glycerol. And I found that can actually cause holes in your stomach lining and ulcers. And I thought, you know what, this is just not the way to go. And there's just so many additives in them. And I don't think that they always are what they say they are on a lot of the bars in the market. I know that there has been recalls on a lot of sports bars in the market.
Right.
And I am very cautious with them personally.
Right, so we got to watch out for the quality of the bar. If you do eat a bar, be prepared for maybe some stuff coming into the body. Like you say, we are what we eat.
Yes, we are.
So,
yeah,
and eat the wrong things, we're going to be in trouble, right?
And I think anything with too much weird wording on it that I don't understand, I'd rather not touch.
Right. Yeah, that's good advice.
Yes.
Now, from a boot camp perspective, then turning over into a bodybuilding, because
mm-hmm.
I know that you have a great interest in bodybuilding, and I know you've got your sights on the Miss Olympia.
Yes, I do.
Like myself.
Absolutely.
You know, we both have our sights on the highest level.
Yes.
So how would you change your training and your lifestyle from, say, being a boot camper and a teacher and being into fitness to bodybuilding? What is it that you have to do to make those changes that will bring that muscle onto your body?
I find that it takes a tremendous amount of consistency and discipline of being a bodybuilder. You have to be really, really careful with what you're eating all the time, as well as you always have to make sure that you're never missing meals. Just missing one meal and I feel completely different. Like, I actually feel like my body looks different, it feels different, and it's important that you're always varying up your routine in the gym as well. And you're looking at your body and you're kind of sculpting it and being an artist, and you're going, okay, well, what do I need to work more on here in order to prepare or actually get this looking better so that I'll look better on stage? And you also have to go through posing routines to make sure that you're seeing, you know, what you look like and practice and everything, because you do need a routine for bodybuilding shows. The other thing that I think makes it challenging in being a bodybuilder versus in training for competition versus being a person that's just doing a fitness program is that you have to kind of watch yourself when you're socializing, because when you are invited up for dinners or you're invited into parties and everything like that, you don't have any control of the foods that are in there unless you actually prepare yourself. And you actually, I go to the point where I bring my own food to a lot of parties, because that way I know that I get the nutrients that I need. And because you don't know.
And when you're
on the road.
Yeah.
And when you're on the road and when you're driving places, you know, like, and you can't just stop and kind of just pick up whatever, because that's not going to fuel your body. You have to make sure that you prepare for any event, and you have to be really ahead of the game in order to get to those goals.
So what is it about muscle that you like so much? Like, from a bodybuilding perspective, obviously you're going to build more muscle on your body than, say, other kinds of athletes. What is it that you like about muscle from a female perspective?
I like the way it makes me feel. It makes me feel strong and powerful when I'm in the gym and I'm working out. It also makes me feel passionate about the fitness industry, because it makes me feel like I am who I say I am and who I am showing to other people as well. I'm actually guiding them in their process of getting healthy. And I feel that by me being kind of like, you know, a person that they can look to and turn to and say, hey, you know, you've done this already. What can you tell us about this? You know, instead of if I was actually being a person that was really unhealthy and not doing anything myself, I hardly think that there would be a lot of clients that would be coming my way.
So you think you've got to be a real strong role model.
Yes.
You've got to look the part, and it's not do what I say, but do as I do.
Exactly. You really got to be a role model to people if you want to inspire them, to take them to their next level. But, you know, I am, the other thing that is really important to me in terms of the competition is that it's a personal achievement for me, Corey, because I was in a car accident back in 96. And I have taken my body through chronic pain and through a lot of things. And people look at me and they're saying, well, how could you relate to us? You're not, like, you're in such great shape. And I can say, I can relate to you because I have gone through it. And you know what? Never, ever give up. Always fight for what you believe in. And your body can do the most remarkable and incredible things, even if your body is injured or if you're not feeling great that day. Okay, well, you know, like, always listen to your body. And match your activity level with your energy level and take your body to new grounds and new levels and do what it takes. Like, if you have to go out there and do rehab, make sure that you do it properly and make sure that you fully complete the rehab as well so that your body can recover. You know, I find that a lot of people, they make so many excuses and they say, you know, I'm injured, I'm never going to be well, you know, and they're basically saying that I'm giving up. And I think that you never should give up. Like, always keep fighting for what you believe in.
So it's a state of mind.
Absolutely. I think that a lot of it is in your mind. Like, if you believe that you're going to be great, you will be great, because that's who you say that you're going to be.
So by your own confession. So how does a person culture that in their mind? Like, for example, if we look around today at the people around us in this society here in Vancouver, we see a lot of obesity. We see a lot of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, strokes. It seems as if there's a lot of adults in our age group that are not looking after themselves. They seem to be apathetic or melancholy. They're not motivated. So what is going on in the minds of these people?
Well, you know, Corey, I think a lot of people have gotten themselves into lifestyles where, of course, the times have changed. And financially, it takes two people to actually go out there and be full career people. And they have, you know, they're still raising families and everything. And I think a lot of people, they are having trouble coping, you know, with their actual time management. And I find that I hear a lot of people saying that I don't have time to work out and I am just too tired to work out, you know, and I think that's one of those big things that's happening in the community, and people don't have time to actually prepare proper foods, or they're not taking the time to prepare the proper foods, and they're ending up, you know, eating out quite a bit, and they're eating fast food. And I don't think that fast food can fuel your body properly and give you the energy that you need. So, you know, one of the things that I really need to say is that people need to take charge of their lives. They really need to sit down and look at, you know, their schedules, and they need to say, when can I take some time for myself? And especially women, because women are so good at basically being the person that's taking care of everyone else that they forget to take care of themselves. And what I need to say to women are, you know, really get out there and look at your schedule. Be selfish. Be more selfish. Take time for you. Make sure that you actually, you know, look at the time schedule and see even if you can fit in half an hour to an hour a day of exercise and preparing your foods for you and your family.
Very good. Excellent words of advice. Well, guess what? Our time is gone. What an excellent interview.
Wow.
You're so live and so rich in knowledge and information. It's really excellent, and I'm really enjoying this.
Well, thank you, Corey.
Just so our listeners can get to you and learn more about the BC Adventure Bootcamp, do you have a website or a telephone number?
I do. My website is www.bcbootcamp.com, and my phone number is 604-787-7738.
Well, there you have it. So that's BC Bootcamp, BOOTCAMP.com, www. Get to that site and check it out. And if you're in Vancouver, drop Marianne a line and sign up for that boot camp and find out what you're made out of. Well, at the end of every session, I always like to ask our special expert guest for a special word, something to inspire us, to enlighten us, to edify us. So what do you have in your mind today?
Well, remember that life is always challenging and that there are always going to be obstacles along the way. It is how you choose to deal with those obstacles that will guide you in your path, reaching your biggest dreams. Just live your life to the fullest. Life is an adventure. Train for it.
Marianne Dravatny is a certified professional trainer and the owner of BC Adventure Bootcamp. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.